Good day all, and welcome to the Upstate Housing Program. My name is Michelle Masurgin, and I will be your host, bringing you news and information regarding the struggle for decent, affordable housing in the Capital Region. Today's segment, we'll be talking with Sam Wells, the Neighborhood Stabilization Coordinator for the City of Albany, and the impact of the recent $1 million grant the City of Albany received to help reduce blight. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What department do you work for, and can you explain for our listeners your role as a Neighborhood Stabilization Coordinator?
Sure. I'm in the buildings of the Department of Buildings and Regulatory Compliance for the City of Albany, buildings and codes for short. I am in charge of coordinating the city's actions on vacant buildings across the City of Albany. And sometimes that bleeds into occupied properties as well, because blighted occupied structures can often be tomorrow's vacant structures too.
It was recently announced by the New York State Attorney General, Letitia James, that the City of Albany will be receiving funding for a housing services advocate. Can you talk what this position will do?
Yeah, so the housing services advocate is one of the many initiatives that is being funded by the Attorney General's office, and we're very thankful for her and for their commitment to us. This position, we sort of see this position as being an intermediary between tenants and landlords, providing both with education and access to resources that they may need. We also see this person as sort of being like closer ears to the ground for us. We haven't always had the greatest pulse of the rental market in the city. We need somebody who keeps a closer eye on it. And ideally, this person speaks multiple languages. We have a lot of language issues that intersect with housing issues. And this, creates a lot of situations that aren't good in the housing world. And we also, see this person becoming my counterpart in a way, whereas I am sort of helping to coordinate work on vacant structures, this person coordinates work on occupied properties.
What else will this grant do, and how will it help reduce blight based on what the Building and Codes Compliance Department is already doing? So what is in addition?
Yeah, so this grant as a whole really covers 7 different items with its funding. First, we're going to be doing an estate planning program. One of our buckets of vacant buildings, and the whole universe of vacant buildings, we've got different categories based on how they came to be. And one of those categories are vacant properties that are there because the owner passed away without a will and with no willing or apparent heir. Those are particularly problematic for us, as when we go there, who are we going to issue the citations to, right? The owner has passed away. There's nobody for us to cite, and there's issues that are accumulating at this property and are only going to get worse with no maintenance when there's no owners that are willing to step up and take over the property from the deceased individual. That's a real problem for us. And so this program, the estate planning program that we want to run, ideally gets ahead of that issue. We're going to proactively reach out to seniors in the city and ask, have those conversations with them. Do you have a will? Do you have a plan for your property? What happens? And we also suspect a lot of folks, there's a lot of generational wealth that isn't getting passed on in many of our neighborhoods. And this is another avenue, too, to ensuring that that happens. Another program, there's 7 total that it's getting funded. So the second program I wanted to tell you about is the Good Neighbor School. This is an educational program that we see helping to improve the tenant-landlord relationship in the city, right? We want to provide education to both tenants and landlords as to what their rights and responsibilities are. Affordable Housing Partnership and TRIP already run existing landlord classes. We want to take that to the next level, and we're going to be reaching out to them. TRIP, that's the Troy Rehabilitation and Improvement Program, and Affordable Housing Partnership. Affordable Housing Partnership is in Albany, and TRIP is in Troy. They both do landlord training classes, and we found that landlords find them useful and very helpful, and we want to take those to the next level with our Good Neighbor School. We'll be reaching out to both organizations to work more closely with them in the creation of a Good Neighbor School. But we also think that would be helpful for tenants, too, and we'll be reaching out to United Tenants of Albany about this. In my personal experience as a renter, I never knew what was or wasn't supposed to be in a lease, for example, or what my full rights and responsibilities were. And we find the same is true of landlords, too. You don't really know, you learn how to be a landlord or how to be a tenant in many cases by just doing it and learning on the fly. There's no real educational requirements or background needed. And so we want to up the standard, and we want to improve those relationships between tenants and their landlords. And so that's what the Good Neighbor School is going to be intending to do. We also think there's a potential partnership there with the city courts. Much like if someone gets arrested for a DUI, the city court could, you know, they could put the person in jail or issue a fine, or they could, demand that the person take classes, right, or go to AA meetings. What if we could do the same for problematic landlords and for tenants who end up, you know, in eviction court all the time after time? Could we, you know, maybe connect them to the resources and help they need, the information that they might need and currently lack, in order to create better future situations for them?
On the Good Neighbors School program, if we already have community organizations already helping tenants, how is this not going to be duplicative, or is that some of that funding going to be passed down to these organizations that are already doing this?
Yeah, so that's a great question. You know, we didn't want to be duplicative, and we'll be reaching out to partner with those organizations to ensure that, you know, because we've got funding to run this, you know, we'll be issuing an RFP, and there's a whole process we have to follow. But we want to make sure that those organizations, you know, have a seat at the table. And if they're not working, you know, directly on the project and getting reimbursed for all the time and energy and money they've spent doing this, then they're at least involved in the process. Mm-hmm. So we definitely want to work with them very closely because they have the firsthand knowledge and experience needed.
Yeah, they're already, like, on the ground. And then I guess my other question is this has happened in New York City where they've had a right to counsel for tenants in the court system to deal with evictions. Is this going to be doing the same kind of thing or a little different?
Not necessarily. You know, our relationship with the courts in this program isn't set in stone. We still have to work, you know, out the details with our city courts, as they're a completely separate branch of city government. But, you know, we think there's definitely something to learn from what, you know, from what New York City does, and we'll be looking to that for more information. The Housing Services Advocate isn't the only position we'll be adding. We intend on adding an extra attorney in our Corporation Counsel's office. This, you know, collections attorney, as you may have seen in some of the press releases, this person will help us in collecting on the judgments that we win in court. So we did a lot of community engagement in the making of this grant. We talked to over 350 people. We did, like, somewhere around 15 to 20 community events, just getting feedback on what people's thoughts were on code enforcement. And people gave us a lot of brutally honest answers. They said, you know, code enforcement doesn't have enough teeth to it. Mm. I put in a complaint, code enforcement came, they saw it, they took it down, and then nothing happened, right? We heard that time and time again. And we looked into that. We took that feedback at its face. And, you know, we looked into it and, you know, we found we could use a little help at the end of this process. So we may, you know, we found cases where we went, you know, we sent a code enforcement officer out. They saw the violation. They wrote it up. The owner never abated it. It went to court. We won in court, and the judge issued, a judgment. And then we struggled to collect. And so if you're not collecting on those judgments that you win in court, then there's no stick in code enforcement, right? There's nothing that landlords or property owners are afraid of, honestly. If you can't collect, then what's the whole point of the whole process? So we needed an extra person to give us some more muscle at the end of the code violation process, and that's what this person's going to be doing.
Okay.
It's a MOTA-OWN program. So if you're familiar with the Albany County Land Bank, most people don't know this, but the land bank has more lots than it does buildings. And it actually struggles to sell the lots in many of these neighborhoods because these lots on the real estate market have little to no value. But that's not necessarily true for the residents who live in that community. What we'd like to do with this program is allow residents to prove that they can take good care of this lot for about a year. No violations of any kind. You know, we'll even give them some funding towards improvements on the lots. Maybe
so MOW, meaning M-O-W, MOW.
Yeah, okay, MOW to own.
Okay. On these lots, could somebody put a manufactured home?
Our planning department's been looking into that. That wouldn't be something that we'd be encouraging in this program. Mm. But it's certainly, I mean, the land bank would love to hear somebody's proposal for that. They would sell them a lot in a heartbeat. We've got plenty of them throughout the city, okay, and really the county that could fit that. Land bank would love to hear that. This program is more for smaller improvements, lots.
The motel.
Yeah, right. You know, okay, so keeping it well-maintained, maybe adding in a garden patch,
garden, right,
or a bench, or, you know, some small improvements to the lot. And it's going to be really, we're really focused on people who live on the same block or, you know, no more than a block or two away from that lot. We want to put the property back in the hands of the community that actually lives there.
I'm Michelle Masurgeon for Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and we just concluded part one of the Upstate Housing Program interview with Sam Wells, City of Albany Neighborhood Stabilization Coordinator.